John chapter 1. And our text for this morning is the verse 43. John 1 and verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, Follow me. The Lord went into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. I'd like us to consider one of the lesser knowns of the 12 disciples, namely this man, Philip. We are first introduced to him as one of the 12. Over in the Gospel of Matthew, and there in Matthew 10, if you turn please to Matthew 10, and there we read in the verse 2, that the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. After the two sets of brothers are mentioned, for we have those two brothers in the verse 12, Peter and Andrew, they're one set of brothers, and then James and John, the sons of Zebedee. So you have two sets of brothers that have been called by the Lord to be the Lord's disciples or apostles. And after the brothers are mentioned, then we're introduced to Philip. Now here in our reading in John chapter 1, we see how Philip became one of the Lord's chosen 12. Andrew was brought to Christ through the preaching of John the Baptist. We know that from verse 40. One of the two, or two of the disciples of John, heard John preach and say, Behold the Lamb of God. And those two disciples, one of them was Andrew, they had gone and spent time with Christ. And when Andrew had been brought to Christ through the preaching of John the Baptist, we see what Andrew did in verse 41. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And so we find that Andrew, who had been brought to Christ, went home and sought out Simon Peter, his brother, and spoke to him about Christ. If you like, he led him, his brother, to Christ. Now when we know that when anyone is brought to the Lord Jesus, well, they want to tell others about the Christ that has saved them. And so no sooner had Andrew become a follower of the Lord than he goes and he searches for his brother Simon Peter. We see here that Andrew's witness for the Lord began at home. That's a good sound principle. When Andrew met the Lord, he had to tell others about his meeting with the Lord. And where did he go? He started at home. He went back and saw his brother. That's where our witness for the Lord should always begin, at home. Indeed, that's where the Lord wants us to begin. You recall what he told Legion? Legion wanted to go with the Lord and travel about with the Lord, but the Lord said no. The Lord said to him instead, go home. Go home. That's where you're to begin. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Mark 5, verse 19. And so the Lord told Legion, go home. That's where you start your evangelism. Go home. Indeed, the Lord applied the same principle, you recall, when he was sending forth his disciples to preach the gospel. There in Acts 1 and verse 8, the Lord told them that they were to begin witness for him where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. They were in Jerusalem at that time. And the Lord was saying, this is where you begin. You begin at home. You begin in Jerusalem before you go to Samaria and Judea. And before you go to the uttermost parts of the world, you begin your evangelistic work at home. Now we follow the footsteps of the Savior here in John 1. We follow the footsteps of the Savior as he would go forth into Galilee. And we are told, there he findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Just a few words about the Lord finding Philip, but they're full of teaching. And so we want to look at this man, Philip, as he became one of the Lord's disciples. So what can we learn about him here in these words? One of the lesser known of the 12 disciples. One of the lesser knowns that we come across in the scriptures. We're more familiar with James and John, the sons of Zebedee. We know quite a bit about Simon Peter and Andrew. But what do we know about Philip? I want, first of all, to look at the conversion of Philip. Philip converted to Christ. We have seen how Andrew was brought to Christ. We've already pointed out by the preaching of John the Baptist. John preached the Lamb of God, and Andrew wanted to know more about the Lamb of God. And he went and he followed the Lord to where he was staying. And there he came to know Christ. But we see that Philip was reached by the Lord himself. I wanted to see then, regarding Philip converted to Christ, I want you to notice first of all, Philip was found by Christ. The fact that we are told that the Lord Jesus went forth into Galilee and found Philip indicates that he went there to search for Philip. He went there to look for Philip. You recall the parable that the Lord told about the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son. Well, the shepherd, the Lord said, had 100 sheep, and he left the 99, and he went in search of the one sheep that was lost, and when he had found it, he put it upon his shoulders and carried it home. And there was great rejoicing because he had found his lost sheep. Well, here's the shepherd again, the Lord Jesus. And he's going into Galilee in search of a lost sheep. And he goes into Galilee, and we're told he findeth Philip. This speaks to us, first of all, of the purpose of Christ. He went into Galilee with the purpose of finding one of his lost sheep. And he went into Galilee, and we're told he findeth Philip. There's his purpose, the purpose of Christ. Does that not remind us of why the Lord Jesus came into the world? Christ came into the world, and what was his purpose in coming into the world? The Lord himself tells us, the Son of Man is come, what to do? To seek and to save that which was lost. And so there's the Lord Jesus, and he goes into Galilee, and he's going there to seek one of his lost sheep. And we're told he findeth Philip. The Lord used the preaching of John the Baptist to bring Andrew to himself. Then in turn Andrew brings his brother Simon Peter to Christ. Nevertheless, in all occasions, it was Christ himself who seeks out and finds individuals, and they subsequently become followers of the Lord. The Lord uses instruments. The Lord uses means. The Lord will use you and me to seek out souls for himself. He uses means. He'll use men. He'll use methods. But in this occasion, the Lord sought Philip directly himself. He didn't use anybody on this occasion. But the Lord will use means, and he'll use us. Just as he used John the Baptist to reach Andrew. And he used Andrew to reach Simon Peter. So the Lord will use us to reach individuals and tell them about the Lord Jesus, who is mighty to save. In the strength of the Lord, let me labor and pray. Let me watch as a winner of souls, that bright stars may be mine in the glorious day when his praise like sea billows roll. Will there be any stars in my crown when at evening the sun goeth down? When I wake with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be anyone in heaven whom you and I have led to Christ? Will there be anyone in heaven who will be able to point to us and say, that man, that woman led me to the Lord? Will there be any stars in my crown? As well as the purpose of Christ, he went into Galilee and found Philip. Not only the purpose of Christ, but it speaks to us also of the persistence of Christ. Because we're told the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find him. Again, we go back to the parable that the Lord told of the woman who lost a piece of silver. She looked and looked and looked until she found it. She persisted until she found her piece of silver. The shepherd had lost one of his sheep, but he persisted until he found that lost sheep. And now here is the Lord, and he goes into Galilee, and we're told, and he findeth Philip. That tells me, indicates to me, that the Lord Jesus went there and persisted until he found Philip. How thankful we are as believers that the Lord Jesus persisted as he sought for us and our souls. Think of the years that we showed no interest in the things of God, but all that while Christ was seeking us out. Think of the number of gospel messages we listened to, and the Lord was still seeking for our souls. Think of the number of preachers we sat under, and the number of sermons we heard, and we turned a deaf ear to it all, but the Lord was still seeking us. Think of the number of invitations, gospel invitations that were extended to us to come and receive Christ as Savior. We turned our back upon the Lord, but he persisted. Think of the warnings that were sounded. Warnings such as, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And we heard warnings like that, and it didn't seem to trouble us. But the Lord still sought us. He persisted as God's people prayed and God's servants preached. The Lord persisted until he found us. And you can look back to that time, that day in your life when the Lord did find you in a church meeting or at home, and you could not resist him anymore because the Spirit of God had worked in your heart, because you'd been told, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." But the Lord persisted until he found us, and he lifted us out of our sin and made us his own. How thankful we are that the Lord did persist. How thankful we are the Lord, the Good Shepherd, went out and searched and searched until he found the sheep, until he found us, and brought us home rejoicing. Speaking about the day that the Lord saved him, Dr. Andrew Bonner, a good friend of Robert Murray McShane, Dr. Bonner said, "It was in the year 1830 that I found the Savior, or rather, that he found me, and laid me on his shoulders rejoicing. And I have never parted company with him all these 62 years." He first of all said, "I found the Savior." Then he says, or rather, "He found me and put me on his shoulders rejoicing. And I've never parted company from him all these 62 years. We not glad the Lord persisted until he found us. You see, first of all then, Philip was found by Christ. That leads us then to consider Philip was favored by Christ. Favored. When we look at the words of our text, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. We think of all the people that were in Galilee, but it was Philip that he found. Philip was the one who would be his disciple. Philip was the one who would be his apostle. How favored he was then. One soul reached and brought to Christ. Does this not remind us how favored we are? The Lord could have left us. Believer, the Lord could have left you and me. He could have left us to carry on in our sinful ways until we came to the precipice and fallen over into a lost eternity. He could have left us. But he searched for us. And he persisted until he found us. And think of it, of all who were in Galilee that day, the Lord chose Philip to be his own. We're not told about anyone else on that day that was found and favored, none but Philip. But this favor goes back a long way before that. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us. You think of it. Out of all who were in Galilee that day, the Lord chose Philip. Philip was the one that he found that day. Philip was the one that he chose that day to be one of his own and to be one of his disciples. But he was already chosen by the Lord when? Before the foundation of the world. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That teaches us it was nothing in us. Nothing in you or me recommended us to the Lord. He chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, according to the good pleasure of his will. How favored we were and how favored we are. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the love. Philip was favored. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, as you and I, believer, were. And we remember the words of the Lord to the apostle. When the apostle Paul was there in Corinth, the Lord said to Paul, I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. In other words, the Lord had many of his chosen people in the city of Corinth. And they would be found through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. That's how they would be found. Christ would find them as he found Philip. Christ would find them there in Corinth through the preaching of Paul. There he would use means. He would use a man to preach the gospel. You think of that, that's grace. And it's interesting, when you look at the list of the disciples, wherever you come across the list of the disciples, we just read there, in their opening remarks, the list of the disciples there in Matthew 10. You will find, wherever you come across the list of the disciples in the gospel, Philip is always the fifth one mentioned. Five, the number of grace. And here the Lord went into the city of, or went into Galilee, and sought and found Philip, one who had been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That is grace. Matchless, infinite, marvelous grace. For by grace are you saved. Philip was found by Christ. Philip was favored by Christ. And then we see that Philip followed Christ. When the Savior found Philip, the first thing he said to him was, "Follow me." Two words. Follow me. You see there, that command was, first of all, it was immediate. For we're told, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Once the Lord found Philip, first thing he said to him was, "Follow me." Well, that's really what the Lord expects of us all whom the Lord finds and makes his own. He expects us all to follow him. It is his command, "Follow me." If we become Christians, if we're saved, the Lord expects us, yet commands us, "Follow me." No. It's not a matter of being saved and that's it. It's not a matter of just being saved and making no progress at all. Remember what Peter said, "Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye might grow thereby." As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye might grow. The Lord expects us to grow. If a child was born into a home, and after 2 or 3 months that child had not grown, there was something seriously wrong. And we are born again and become the children of God, but we don't make any progress, there's something wrong. And so the Lord said to Philip, "Follow me." We're to follow Christ. No longer follow the world. We don't follow the fashion of the world. We don't follow the fads of the world. We don't follow the follies of the world. We don't follow the music of the world. We follow him. "Follow me," the Lord said. It was the Lord said, "Follow me." Before I was saved, I loved rock music. I was a great follower of Elvis Presley. That tells you how old I am. See, when I got saved, and I had quite a collection, as it was then, records, I gave them all away. Because the Lord had said to me, "Follow me." Not the world, not the music of the world. As to follow Christ. That's what God expects of every one of his people. When you're following, you're moving, you're going somewhere. Christ said, "Follow me." So we're moving towards him always. He's before us and we follow him. Hosea 6 and verse 3. There we read, "Then shall we know if we follow all to know the Lord." There's a good motto text for a new believer. Then shall we know if we follow on to know Him. The only way we're really going to get to know Christ is to continue to follow Him. Follow His Word. Follow His leading. Follow His teaching. When the Lord finds us and lifts us out of our sin, surely we want to know Him. We want to know more about Him. We want to have a deeper knowledge of Christ. Paul, as an aged missionary, he was an old man when he uttered these words, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Philippians 3:10. And here was Paul, spent many years serving God, many years suffering for the Lord, and yet near the end of his life, his prayer still was that I might know Him. I want to know Christ in a fuller and a deeper way. And so we see then that when the Lord found Philip, He said, follow me. That was immediate. Something else there in those words. Not only did the Lord speak to him and say, follow me, being immediate, He also speaks about an individual. The Lord said, follow me. He's the individual. The Lord did not mention anyone else when he addressed Philip. He said, follow me. He didn't say, follow John or Andrew. He didn't say, follow Peter or James. He said, follow me. Follow me. The tense of that word follow is interesting. The tense of the word follow means continual following. Continuous. The word also has the meaning of to cleave steadfastly, earnestly. And so here's the Lord saying to Philip, whenever he had found him, follow me. I want you to follow me continually. I want you to follow me. Yeah, I want you to cleave unto me. I want you to be steadfast, turning not to the right or to the left. Follow me. That's what the Lord expects us to do. Not someone else. Not something else. Follow me. The same order was given to the others whom the Lord had found and favored. He said the same thing. He said to Peter and Andrew, he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. Then we read, and as Jesus passed from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the seat of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Matthew 9:9. So this wasn't the one solely. The Lord had said to others, I want you to follow me. Nobody else, nothing else. And again, looking at those two words, when the Lord said, follow me, two words, one person, nobody in between. There's nothing in between those two words. follow me. And as I've already pointed out, the word follow means to cleave on to. Well, if you cleave on to someone or cleave on to something, there's no room in between. And the Lord is saying to Philip and to the other disciples, follow me with nothing in between. It must be all Christ. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, this is when the 12 disciples had been chosen. The Lord then said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. Let a man deny himself. In other words, the Lord would say, there's no room for self. There's nothing to come between you and I. Follow me. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's delusive dreams. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem. Must not my heart from him ever sever? He is my all. There's nothing between. We often sing that hymn here. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless, they seem. Must not my heart from him ever sever? He is my all. There's nothing between. Philip found by Christ. Philip favored by Christ. Philip followed Christ. We notice also Philip was faithful to Christ. Now what the Lord had called Peter and Andrew, the sons of Zebedee, to be, namely fishers of men. That's what he had called them to be. That's why the Lord called Philip. There's no indication that he was actually a fisherman like some of the other disciples, but God had called him to be a fisher of men. That verse was preached. That verse was used to call me into the ministry. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you a winner of souls, as the Lord was saying to the disciples. Follow me. Well, here we see that Philip, when the Lord found him, favored him, said to him, follow me. Well, Philip got down to business straight away. Look there. We read in the verse again in our text, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said unto him, follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew, verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael. So there you have Philip getting down to business straight away. Going to be a fisher of men. He had just found Christ, or Christ had just found him. And he's already going forth to find others for the Lord. He went and found Nathanael. he was going to be a fisher up there, and he got down to that business straight away. You recall when we studied Philip the Evangelist, we pointed out then that the name Philip means a lover of horses. And I don't know if either of the two Philips were a lover of horses, but I do know they were both lovers of souls. They loved the souls of men, as proven here. Whenever Philip was found by the Lord, he went out and found Nathanael and told him about Christ. And the other thing that's interesting, when Philip went and found Nathanael, Nathanael in turn became one of the Lord's disciples. We know that from, again, Matthew 10, verses 2 to 4. There Nathanael is called Bartholomew. The names are interchangeable. And so there is Philip, and he goes out and he finds Nathanael and tells him about the Lord, witnesses to him about the Lord, and he brings him to Christ, and lo and behold, Nathanael becomes one of the Lord's disciples. See? You win someone for the Lord, you never know what the Lord's plan is for that individual. That person you lead to Christ, the Lord may call that person to be a preacher or a missionary, or call them into some full-time service. It's a wonderful business, seeking the lost, winning the lost for Christ. You never know what it leads to. So we have considered then Philip found by Christ, favored by Christ, followed Christ, was faithful for Christ. He went and sought Nathanael to be a fisher of men. Then we say also Philip was familiar with Christ. Isn't it interesting that Philip, when he witnessed to Nathanael, that he had a knowledge of the Scriptures? Remember, he would only have the Old Testament Scriptures. But when he saw Christ, he knew who he was. Look at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He didn't have a complete knowledge of the Lord's identity, but he knew what Moses had written about Christ. And here was a man who had never been brought to Christ until that day the Lord went into Galilee. Here was a man who was not saved, and yet he had a knowledge of who the Lord was. He had evidently read the Scriptures. He had evidently read what Moses had written. But he still wasn't saved. Not until that day the Lord found him in Galilee. You know, in many ways, Philip is so typical of many today. There are those that are self-righteous. Talk to them about the Lord and they may say, oh, well, I read my Bible every day, which is good. I do the best I can every day. That's good too. But they've never come to a knowledge of Christ. They've never come to an experiential knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They have it here, but not here. And how sad it would be then if that same soul who had a head knowledge of the Lord but never a heart knowledge, how terrible it will be for them in a lost eternity, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. They will remember all that they read in the Bible. They'll remember every verse they read about the Lord Jesus. I remember not long after I was saved, there was a Christian bookstore in the town near where Dorian and I live. And you've seen pictures or cross-cut slices of wood, and they're varnished, and a verse of scripture written on. And I remember buying one of those verses of scripture written on a piece of wood, and talked to the lady who owned the bookstore, and I says, that person who writes the words of scripture and those pieces of wood, they're very talented as well, very well done. She said, do you know something? The man who writes the verses of scripture and those pieces of wood, she says, he's not saved. He's not a Christian. And there, he does that for a living. It's his business to handwrite verses of scripture on pieces of wood and have them sold in Christian bookstore, and the man's not saved. Can you imagine what it would be like for that individual if he dies in a sin? He would remember every verse of scripture he wrote. He would remember every verse of scripture. And that would only add to his torments for all eternity. Every verse of scripture will come up before him. Can you imagine Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? Can you imagine a verse like that coming up before him? He left it too late. He'd be in a place where there's no salvation. And so here's Philip. He had evidently read Moses, the books of Moses. He knew what Moses had to say about the Lord. And when he was witnessing to Nathanael, he said, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets, not just Moses, not just the books of Moses, but he read the prophets also. And we have found them. The person that Moses and the prophets wrote about. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, the son of God. And he used that knowledge to witness to Nathanael, which tells us you need to have a knowledge of the word to witness to others. Somebody asks you, well, how can I be sure and safe? You need to know what verse to turn to. So we have then, finally we come to the last point. Philip was found by Christ, favored by Christ, followed Christ, was faithful to Christ, was familiar with Christ. Philip had faith in Christ. When I say faith in Christ, I'm not referring to a saving faith. He had faith in Christ in another sense. Look there in the verse 45. Philip has witnessed to Nathanael, said, "We have found him of whom Moses, the law, the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said unto him, "Come and see. Come and see." Philip believed that, and Nathanael didn't believe his words, and he went and saw Christ. Then he would believe. Philip had faith that Christ, when Nathanael saw him, that's all was needed for Nathanael to see Christ, to meet Christ, and he would receive him. You notice, whenever Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip didn't argue with Nathanael. He just said, "Come and see. Come and find out for yourself." Indeed, the Lord used the same term. Whenever the two disciples, one of them being Andrew, wanted to know more about the Lord Jesus, wanted to know where he dwelt, look there in verse 38, "And Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He, that is the Lord Jesus, saith unto them, "Come and see." If you wanted to know more about me, the Lord said, well, come and see. And here Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip simply said, "Come and see." That's all was needed. It's like witnessing to someone and telling them about the Lord and how good the Lord is and how gracious the Lord is, how gentle the Lord is, and they put up arguments against it. You say, well, look, just come and see. Find out for yourself. Just as the psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. As W.P. Nicholson used to say, "I could tell you how sweet honey is, but you'll never know until you taste it yourself. I can tell you how good the Lord is, but you'll never know until you come and taste yourself." Come and see. Come and see. That's the word to all who know not the Savior. They hold back. Don't know whether to receive the Lord or not. Don't know what it would be like to be a Christian. Don't know anything about Christ. I would say today, come and see. Come and find out for yourself. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, dear Lord and loving God, we thank thee for the precious Savior, the generous, gentle, gracious Son of God. We thank thee for that day that, Lord, thou didst find Philip. And Philip, being a fisher of men, found many more since that day. And there he went straight away to Nathanael, and said, "We have found him." And they have said, "Come and see." Lord, I pray that souls even today will come and see how good the Lord is. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts today. Bless it to thy honor and thy glory. Be with us now, dear Lord, as we leave the house of God. May we do so rejoicing in the Lord. Grant us traveling mercy. Those who have a bit further to go, may thy hand be upon them for good. Lord, come and meet with us again tonight, we pray. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore.